which is the report from the SSC. Whenever you're ready, Dr. Cadran.
Over lunch, it addresses the four recommendations that the SSC was asked to provide recommendations on. I'd also like to recognize some SSC members that are with us today. Jake Kreitzer, John Anila, John Gates. I think the rest have unfortunately left. And our two council staff members assigned to helping us, Pat Fiorelli and Chris Kellogg. So we had four requests to address at yesterday's meeting. That was to review a national stock assessment workshop that occurred last week, provide advice on the Skate Fishery Management Plan Amendment 3, add to the five-year research priorities that David Gaethel just presented to you, and provide comments on National Standard 2 guidelines. So our agenda was to clear up some old business. This is continuing our process of having a two-month cycle in which we have at least 1 month to deal on any issue that requires recommendations. We were able to elect J.J. McGuire. We're hereby nominating him to the executive committee for their confirmation. We finalized our proposed operating procedures to the council. We're considering feedback from last week's national SSC workshop. We're recommending, we're reviewing what we discussed in October and again yesterday for recommended procedures. And we also are recommending an annual agenda. We then wrapped up our recommendations for Skate Amendment 3. The new topics that we discussed were these research priorities and National Standard 2 comments. The press release that was issued last Friday was that this is the first time SSC chairs were brought together. Coincident with the reauthorization and the expanded role of the SSCs, we're finding that each regional SSC is starting in a lot of different places, but we all recognize the need to move toward common ways of doing things, yet honoring the flexibilities and the variabilities of the data sets and the fisheries and the cultures in each region. We do need some common ways of approaching requirements of the SSCs. There was a fairly strong statement came out that was a general consensus at the meeting that the SSC should be considered the final arbiter of the best science available. That may not be universally accepted, but it is one way of having the council consider evaluating what the best science available is. One of our recommendations is that as we approach our 2010 deadline for annual catch limits and their associated recommendations, we should get together again to see how our methods towards deriving annual catch limits have evolved. And with all the expanded roles of the SSC, that's going to translate in a need for increased support and funding from the councils and NIMFs. All eight councils were represented by delegations of four. I was joined by Bob O'Boyle, Jake Kreitzer, and Chris Kellogg. We had two main agenda items, and that was to go over the expanded role of the SSC as authorized by the Magnuson-Stevens Act. We had some presentations by NIMFs John Borman and Rick Methot. And then each regional SSC reported on their operating procedures and methods for determining acceptable biological catch, and I'll go over both of those this afternoon. I'll start out with a document that you may be familiar with. It was developed by the Council in June 2008, and it was this schematic is a larger diagram on how a fishery management plan develops, but you'll notice there's two sources of input for the Science and Statistical Committee. That's at the early stages of a plan development, at the identification of the problem, and the general strategies towards meeting that problem. Then the SSC has input late in the process as well, where final alternatives are being evaluated, and SSC's advice is requested at that final determination as well. Again, I'm just presenting here what the Council had decided on back in June. These first couple bullets come directly from the Magnuson-Stevens Act. They essentially authorize the SSC to recommend on a wide range of topics essentially any scientific basis for management decisions are open for SSC recommendations. Here, I will be, can't really see it that well there, but the black text came from the June 2008 council document. We're providing recommendations to amend that document to consider some of the things that we learned at the national workshop and our discussions last month and yesterday. The council would like the SSC members to be involved in the peer review process, whether that's the SARC, the TRAC, the GARM, and would like an SSC member to chair those peer review panels. We would like to expand that in which the SSC actually has input in the development of the terms of reference for peer reviews. And the reason for this is that there are some new needs that the SSC needs to fulfill, and that is determining acceptable biological catch. And so we are going to need projections at the overfishing level, quantification of uncertainty, things that may not have been in terms of reference before we're going to need and will suffer if those things are not delivered from the peer review. So we thought the best way of ensuring that was having some input in the terms of reference. The council should request that SSC members serve on peer reviews. We should recognize, though, that SSC members are volunteers, and we may not be able to assume that they're available to do that. One thing that would help is that if SSC members, similar to other peer review panel members, are compensated for their time. Many of our SSC members are self-employed and simply won't be able to serve this purpose unless there is some compensation. The last bullet is something we'd like to add, is that our goal should be to respond to council requests. That should be our primary goal. However, we should set our own agenda and prioritize council requests and add other issues as time allows. As far as the makeup of the SSC, we strongly feel that SSC members do not represent their agency or their organization. They're independent scientists. We acknowledge and appreciate the forethought that went into forming the current SSC. However, as the role of the SSC evolves, we may have good input on what the makeup of the SSC should be. What skill sets are we lacking in, and do we need to replace perhaps some exiting skill sets? So we request that we have the ability to recommend nominees to fill any vacancies. The current makeup of the SSC is somewhat prescriptive. Currently, the makeup is 9 stock assessment scientists, 3 socioeconomics scientists, and 3 fish ecologists. That composition seems to be serving us very well at the time being, but as I said, our role will evolve, and we feel like we may need some flexibility in that makeup, that our makeup may not need to be that prescriptive. So we just want some flexibility in that 9-3-3 ratio. Moving to the last two bullets of this on SSC support, we'd like to recognize that the council has been supporting us very well recently. We've had funds to meet four times since April, actually our fifth time yesterday, and we've been provided support of two council staff. The four of us who went to the national workshop have a new appreciation of this. There are many other regional SSCs that don't have funds to meet, have very limited support, so we do acknowledge and appreciate the support we've been given so far, perhaps with a warning that as our role increases, we may need even more. These are all expanding on the current policy. We feel like the SSC should meet when the council meets to help our interactions with the council. Last month, I presented our need to prioritize the various requests that are coming to us. With input from the council chair, we revised that to request that any council request to the SSC come directly from the council executive committee. That would help us to filter out perhaps some lower priority issues, and we can prioritize the more important ones, and the executive committee can help us do that. In the development of our annual agendas, we will prioritize what we are mandated to do. As I said earlier, the SSC is allowed to weigh in on a wide range of topics. However, we're required to provide acceptable biological catch recommendations. And so we'll prioritize the things that we're required to do and hopefully have time to do some of the things that we're allowed to do. What we'd like to do is avoid unnecessary duplication of official peer reviews. Just from a triage sense, our time could be better spent adding value to the current process rather than challenging the current process. Again, it's something that we have the mandated right to do, but we wouldn't necessarily want to prioritize. One of the things that we'd also like to do is that if we're in a treadmill of providing recommendations on acceptable biological catch, we may start to miss some of the larger scientific issues that are still important to the council. And so we would like to consider these larger spirit of the act aspects of our job in addition to our requirements of providing recommendations on acceptable biological catch. This slide and this portion of our recommendations is really to ask the council to help us help them, is that the more we are set up to give you valuable recommendations, the better product you'll get. And so we're asking for clear communication of a memo from the executive director on specific issues that you'd like us to address. And the clearer that can be, the better, the more likely we are to address your needs. We also need adequate background information and a presentation by whatever technical committee it is that's presenting. Their technical documents should include the background, the major issues, analyses, and conclusion. And I'd like to stress that each technical committee and scientific body of the council should strive towards the best scientific information possible. Is that this second-to-last bullet, where we have some guidelines from the National Research Council on what the best science information available is. It has these touchstones of relevance, inclusiveness, objectivity, transparency, timeliness, and peer review. Those are the criteria on which we are going to be basing our recommendations. And so we'd like to communicate that up front to the technical committees that they should strive to meet these criteria. One thing that would also help us is this last bullet, and this was an idea from the South Atlantic Council and SSC. Before any issue is evaluated, they provide a roadmap of previous iterations, scientific iterations, management iterations, and so that we're not plowing over ground that's been plowed before, so that this document would capture the institutional memory in an issue. So those of us that are new to an issue will have that background and hopefully add to it rather than redo some of the recommendations that have already been communicated. As I said earlier, we're going to be getting into a two-month cycle in which each issue that's we have requested for, we meet 1 month, and that item will be under new business. We'll review documents, identify the critical issues. We'll start to draft SSE recommendations, and then delegate tasks for the intervening month. During that month, we'll continue our work on those critical issues and drafting recommendations so that in the second month, we can pick up those draft recommendations and finalize them to develop a consensus recommendation and report it to the council. We feel it's important that our recommendations are backed up with a majority quorum, that it's not based on a minority of the SSC. The strongest recommendations will be consensus statements, in which we capture statements in which the entire SSC agrees upon. As a last resort, we could capture majority and minority opinions. That's something that we would like to minimize, and we would like to give the council a clear statement on any given issue. And we will only vote on matters of process, our leadership, and our agendas. We feel that sound logic and trying to get at the truth of the matter is not an issue that we should be voting on. We should be developing consensus on. We do invite public comment, particularly as time allows, and we will have concise recommendations supported by technical documents and any technical analyses that the SSC does itself. So the package that was just distributed is essentially short memo versions of recommendations on each of the four requests that we had, and that's how we'd like to continue to work, is in the short memo form of recommendations. Looking at the next couple of years, with these upcoming deadlines for annual catch limits, 2010 if overfishing is occurring, 2011 for all others, we'd like to take these next year and a half to 2 years to review the scientific basis of all of our plans for supporting overfishing levels, acceptable biological catch, annual catch limits, and accountability measures. The annual schedule for the plans and amendments and frameworks has been provided to us by council staff. Once that annual schedule of council activities is communicated to us, we assign an SSC member to lead our discussion on each of those issues. We'll meet in conjunction with council meetings to address council requests. We may also request additional meetings if we need additional time for any issues or to address some of these longer-term issues at topical workshops. This is the proposed 2009 schedule for the SSC. Again, this is coordinated a month ahead of when the council is addressing each of these issues. We've assigned SSC leads to most of those topics. And most notably, we're also requesting a July meeting on one of the larger scientific issues of ecosystem-based management. The second major topic that we discussed last week at the national workshop was how each regional SSC and council are going to approach the new requirements for annual catch limits. And so this is an excerpt from the Act, is that each council shall develop annual catch limits for each of its managed fisheries that may not exceed the fishing level recommendations of its SSC or peer review process. So this is imposing a new role of the SSC, where the New England Council has typically received catch advice and limits from the peer review. The SSC will now take the results from the peer review and form recommendations for acceptable biological catch. What I have depicted here is a simple management strategy in which catch is related to stock biomass, which is common for many of our resources. Typically at low biomass, we can allow a low level of catch that still conforms to the overfishing definition, and as biomass increases, we can allow for more catch. And this is simply our overfishing limit FOFD times the exploitable biomass that's available. The new guidelines and the reauthorized act require that the SSC provide recommendations on acceptable biological catch, and that acceptable biological catch should minimize the risk of overfishing. And so typically scientific uncertainty is accounted for in setting an ABC that's less than the OFD. And I guess we'll have to start embracing this new jargon and these new acronyms, because it's going to be how the council's operating for the foreseeable future. Once the SSC recommends on an ABC, then the council is free to set an annual catch limit that is less than that ABC. And so again, these are going to be critical decisions for the council, and the provision of recommendations from the SSC is also going to be an important step. And as we approach 2010, we're going to have to gear up for this and to provide the best recommendation of ABC. As I said, we have time to develop these methods or general approaches to ABCs, but we want to start getting in a dialogue with the council about ideas that were discussed last week as well as yesterday. One thing we've decided as the New England SSC is that until final guidelines are issued by NMFS, any of our recommendations will be explicitly interim recommendations. We don't know how the guidelines are going to be finalized, and we want to make sure that we're not in violation of them before we even begin. Nor do we necessarily want to affect national policy on this by our precedence of setting ABCs before we have guidelines. One thing that came out of last week is that ABCs don't necessarily have to be as complex as in the proposed guidelines. This is not a final legal determination, but we had strong feedback from NMFS that the ABCs do not have to be explicitly risk-based or based on quantitative measures of uncertainty. And this third bullet, as long as there are effective accountability measures, we may not even have to have annual catch targets. As long as there are annual catch limits and exceeding them is associated with accountability, then we may not need to have what the proposed guidelines call ACTs. There was strong sentiment last week that if there are targets to be considered by the council, the Magnuson-Stevens Act more directly mandates that they be based on optimum yield and socioeconomic targets that are less than the acceptable biological catch. They do not have to be based on uncertainty and risk. The last bullet is very important for many of our data-poor resources. It's not possible to have annual catch limits for a resource on which you can't monitor total catch. Not only can't you recommend on a sustainable catch limit, you can't monitor it through the year. And so many of our resources have unreliable estimates of total catch, and in these situations, the SSC will need to advise that there is no basis for an acceptable biological catch, and other management strategies may be needed. That's all I had on the National SSC Workshop. I'd open it up for questions at this point if the chair agrees.
Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Handout labeled SSC Recommendations and Operating Procedures, that's an extraordinarily important document given the function of the SSC under the Magnuson Act. This I consider to be an extraordinarily important piece of information. And there are a couple of questions I have on it and how it's worded particularly. There are quite a few places in here where the word should is put in place where we need to clarify that. Should is a value word, and we should use in those places either shall or may in order to make it absolutely clear what the direction is, because it isn't clear in every case. To show you what I mean, there's one place here where should is the correct word, and that's under meeting agendas. The SSC should meet in conjunction with council meetings. That gives a degree of latitude, which I think is important there. But if we go back to the first page under membership, the SSC, I think the correct word is may, correct me if I'm wrong here, may recommend nominees. Again, should is a value word that I don't think has a place there. In the next section, interaction with peer review, I think that in that case, again, I'm open to argument, but I think in that case it should read the SSC may have input to the development of terms of reference for peer reviews. I can conceive of many cases, I can think of one in particular with Habitat, where the SSC may not want to have input into the terms of reference. They should have that option, and I think may is the correct word there. And in the next bullet, the council may request SSC members to serve on peer reviews. That way, nobody's locked in, and there's no value attached to whether they do or do not. It's just, you know, the option is there. The next one, council requests for SSC recommendations. Under the SSA should be primarily responsive to council requests, should set its own annual and monthly agenda based on these requests and other issues as time allows. I really don't understand what that sentence really means. That I think needs to be clarified. And at any rate, the word shouldn't be in there anyway. And the word primarily, I think, is out of place as well, because if we said the SSC will be primarily responsive to council requests, that leaves the option that it wouldn't be. So I think that sentence needs to be reworked. The next one, all council requests for SSC recommendations, that should say will be from the council executive committee, because when I look at your schedule for 2009, it is jammed. You guys have no free time in there at all. October is free, but I think there's a strong likelihood that October won't remain free, particularly as the year moves on. So I would not want to see the SSC be tied down with having to evaluate requests from a number of different sources. So I think that one should say all council requests for SSC recommendations will be from the council executive committee. The next one is another one I'm not clear on. Council requests should be clearly communicated in a memorandum from the executive director. Does that mean that they may not be clearly communicated? I'm not sure what that means, and I think that needs to be clarified as well. The next one, all available background information and analysis will be provided by the appropriate organization, I think is what you mean to say there. And going on to the next one, to the extent possible, my interpretation of that is that documents will include the best scientific information available. I don't think there's an option there. I think that should say will. And the next one, background documentation will include a concise summary of previous scientific and management episodes related to each issue, if that's what you want. I can see it. You may want to put may in there, but my interpretation of the way it reads is that what you mean there is will include. And that I think would make this a whole lot more usable document. It's because as I say, I think this is just this policy. Once we set this, I think it's going to be pretty much, you know, in stone. And I think we need to be very careful that we get this right the first time around, because the SSC is really where we're managing from. Thank you,
Paul Howard.
Yeah, Dave. My goal would be for staff and executive committee to work with this and come back in February to approve new policies and operation procedures based on this input. So probably should is right. They're saying should here, and then it's up to us as a council with review by the executive committee to make recommendations whether they should be may or shells. So we can vote on it in February. That's how I vision it.
Okay, that's fine. I thought there was less time than that because of they're beginning right away, you know, in February. Yeah, okay.
Dr. Pierce.
You know, Steve, this is a fine piece of work. Very good job by you and the rest of the SSC. I need a clarification, however, on two things. And the first is, when you gave us the list of the National SSC Workshop conclusions, I think, or recommendations relative to ABC discussions, did you say that the New England SSC has supported all those recommendations? It was unclear to me if you had, or whether that was just a conclusion of the workshop subject to further discussion by your SSC.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I should have been more clear. We're very much in a discussion stage on this now. These were some of the take-home points that the delegation of four of us took back to our SSC, and these are things that we're considering for our methods and approaches to setting ABC recommendations. Okay. So there's nothing final about this list, but these are all ideas worth considering.
All right, very good. I'm glad to hear that, because those are excellent recommendations, and they certainly do need a great deal of discussion by your SSC. And my other question, once again, is for clarification, and that is, in the memo that you did send to Paul Howard with those SSC recommendations on the operating procedures, the one you just went through, there's a second bullet under the category of council requests for SSC recommendations, and it's still unclear to me as to why the SSC feels that all council requests for SSC recommendations should be from the council executive committee. Why does the executive committee have to be that powerful, that influential? For example, if I have a specific request I would like the SSC to consider, if this was to be as part of the operation procedure, would I have to convince the executive committee to agree with me? Would any council member have to do that? I had thought that the better way to go would be to have the council discuss what needs to be done, what we would like to have recommended. We vote on it, and then the executive director would, consistent with the third bullet, then have those requests clearly communicated to the SSC. So would you, again, give me the logic as to why the executive committee is the small number of individuals representing this council who will have that responsibility?
Yeah, as a little bit of background, Dave, you may remember that last month I presented an approach to prioritizing requests. And at the top of that, we were considering where the request was coming from. So the top tier was a request that was a consensus from the council. That went down to an individual that had some council status, is that we were going to use that to prioritize things. And in conversations with the council chair, John suggested this, that it go through the executive committee. And from an SSC chair standpoint, it does a lot of the prioritization for me, and I think it's appropriate, where the SSC is asking for some autonomy in setting its agenda, that the council itself prioritize its requests. And that was one form of doing that. I think it's a matter for discussion, and the council should agree on how it wants to approach it. But any form of pre-filtering the requests before they get to us would greatly help us.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, address you and ask you how you would envision this working. Just I need to have it clarified so I understand what this operating procedure would entail. What would any particular council member have to do in order to have an SSC, have a recommendation be brought forward to the SSC?
If it was happening in between two council meetings, you would send a note to Paul Howard or myself, and we'd put it on an agenda for the executive committee to look at. If there wasn't an executive committee meeting scheduled, then we would have to make that decision on our own.
All right, so the SSC, so the executive committee would essentially say to a particular council member, we're not going to move your recommendation off to the SSC for its consideration. That's what's being recommended here.
No, what's being recommended is a process for which anybody can solicit the executive committee for an issue to move down to the SSC or over to the SSC.
True, but it wouldn't be subject to a council debate and vote. It would be just the executive committee making the call as
That's
a consequence
right.
of a discussions between five or so individuals.
That's
who
right.
have been given the responsibility to lead this council.
That's right.
I clearly appreciate that.
That's
okay.
right. Paul Howard.
Yes, Dave, we spent a good deal of time at executive committee and developed an executive committee policy that is similar to this. But if you note your executive committee minutes, that we basically said that PDTs, advisory panels, council members, anyone who wants the SSC to do something will be filtered through, you know, contact me or John. I'll get the executive committee to review it, and then the final decision with input from the executive committee will be from John. That's how our new policy was developed, and we'll bring it back in February for council approval. That the final approval is John's with input from the executive committee. That's what we discussed last week.
Well, the final approval would be the chair's.
The chair's.
I may not be here for too much longer. Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if we as a council don't feel that that's an appropriate direction to go in, we would change it in February?
Right. In February, all of the recommendations from Steve or from the SSC that Steve delivered and the recommendations from the executive committee and everything else will be put into an agenda item in February. And we'll have the operating procedure that's part of our SOPs for the full council to review and to vote on.
Okay, thank you, because I think we really do need to weigh that concept of whether or not the council as a body is making, you know, the recommendations and prioritizing for the SSC.
Paul Howard.
One of the things we discussed long and hard is that since the council has agreed that the executive committee, that the SSC shall be involved twice in the process, and the fact that the SSC wants all this information from staff on prior management, prior science, there's a tremendous workload on our staff now to support the SSC, rightfully so. And we've now had to do twice the planning to build the SSC into our process. And at executive committee, we decided we're going to have milestones that are very basic, not these two pages of when the committees are going to meet, when this and that, but we're going to have council meeting actions and SSC actions. And at each executive committee, we're going to bring in the chair to talk about his timelines to see how he's doing, because if a committee misses one of its, doesn't vote on alternatives to go out for vote in the EIS or something like that, it backs up the whole process. And we don't have enough time. We've got to build in a whole year's worth of planning for the SSC. So we felt that to have the whole council task the SSC, we'd never be able to do that in the timelines with council meetings every other week. It just doesn't make sense. But again, this debate is for February, but I wanted you to know that we're building in a whole year schedule. It's going to have to change already, because we've got priorities to discuss, and it'll probably be added some of the responsibilities now when we look at skates with ACLs and Red Crab that we have to do now and some other things like that. So there's going to be additional items that we're going to ask the SSC to do as part of 2009. So that's some of the rationale why, you know, who should task the SSC was developed that way. We don't have the luxury of voting on that every time.
All right, Dave Pierce, then Dave Gaethel.
Thank you for the clarification, Paul. It also puts me at ease somewhat because this is the first time I've seen this, and we're not going to, you're not looking for a motion today regarding this. It'll be on the agenda in February. That's very good. And I'll just once again repeat my appreciation for this work, and I'm particularly happy, satisfied with the fourth, fifth, and sixth bullet under the council request for the SSC recommendations. And this is really going to lead to a very transparent and open process. I think we'll all be very satisfied with this process once it is finally detailed for us and we sign off on it. And that leads me to my question, which is, these recommendations on operating procedures make it very clear, more so than ever before, that the SSC is extremely important, and we will rely on them in a major way, and they have to do a tremendous amount of work, a lot of work. So where do we stand relative to making sure that they're appropriately compensated for the time they have to put in? Did we discuss this already at a previous council meeting? I can't recall it, or is this something that's still ongoing? If it is ongoing, we need to be updated because, these men, there's no woman, right? These men really have to be compensated appropriately.
Well, it's somewhere in your binder or you've been copied. We sent a letter to Steve Murawski requesting funding, not only as stipends, but also to support us so they can meet as often as they're meeting. We have the luxury this year of, over the last couple of years, the service has given us additional funding for laps, and we've got it at the end of the year and then got it again at the beginning of the year. So we've got additional funding to do some of the things we're doing now with hiring some additional folks and paying for our SSC to meet. But I'm very nervous about after 2009, very nervous about having the funding to do everything if our budget doesn't continue the way we are. And also in February, all the chairs of the different councils are meeting in Washington to discuss budget, and at that meeting on the agenda is SSC funding.
Dave, just so you know, I'm advocating for an arm wrestling competition to compete for the pot of money that may be available. So.
Winner takes all.
Pat?
I think David Pierce touched upon this, but just as you consider the workload of the PDTs, I think you not only have to consider the workload that the staff has to the work that the staff has to do to support the SSC, I don't mean me, I mean our PDTs and the documents they put out and so forth, but the SSC itself has a huge workload with looking at the same documents that you all look at the council meeting as your final products. And while you may get brief summaries that synthesize all of the conclusions, we need to send out a month ahead of time. People spend time reviewing them. They're communicating about them before they hold a public meeting. And it's really a giant task. So I think some of the thinking was to overload the SSC so that they can actually get the required work done that they have to do. And that was some of the thought and some of the discussion behind this proposal. So I just thought I'd let you just reemphasize that, too, that the workload is really quite significant for that committee, for the SSC.
Yeah, I think Thursday when we go through the priority discussion, I know there's sensitivity to how is the SSC tasked. I think when we go through the priority discussion and we look at the timeline, that the aggressive timeline that we're proposing, and you also look at the timeline and the schedule of work for the SSC, it'll become obvious that there, at least for the next 18 months, there is not a lot of time for the SSC to do anything but help us meet our requirements under the law. In addition, they spent a bit of time yesterday figuring out, hey, when do we get time to start to do things that are beyond the requirements of the SSC? When do we start to add more value than just sort of being part of the process? When does that happen? So they're, I think, it's fair to say, looking forward to working outside of the tight timeline or the tight requirements that function that they're serving for us. And again, February, we'll have a chance to look at the SOP and vote on it. And if there's recommendations from individual council member or groups of council members, and it just so happens that there's available time on an SSC agenda, and we have a council meeting prior, let's have that discussion at the table, and let's make a decision as a council. But if there's an individual council member that there's an issue of the day that they really want the SSA to look at, and it needs to happen next week, the SSC isn't the type of body that can react to things that quickly. It shouldn't be. They have to plan things out much more rigorously than we do at this council. So it's an attempt to put somebody in a position to say no. And if it's me or the council, as opposed to the SSC chair, I think that's appropriate. But we'll have that debate in February or discussion. I had a hand up, Dave.
Yeah. To that previous discussion, I just say I think you need a gatekeeper. And I think I would go even a little further. I think it should go from the Species Committee to the Executive Committee to the SSC. I don't think I or anybody else should be able to just call up Steve and say, hey, you got to do this. That's a little bit too much free range here. We got too much going on. But my questions for, I have two questions for Steve. One was on the SSC recommendations on, it's in the middle of page two, Steve. First it says a majority quorum should be sought for SSC recommendations. So does that mean a majority of people present at a meeting or through some other means?
Yeah, if I may, that probably should be clarified. What that means is that we need a majority of members present at the meeting. And once we have a majority, so we have 15 members, we need at least 8 there to provide recommendations. Those recommendations will be a consensus of the people in attendance.
Okay, very good. That's what I thought. I just wanted to be sure. And that brings to the next bullet on consensus. I mean, if we adopt this as a standard operating procedure, I know you're a very collegial fellow and you wouldn't browbeat somebody into signing on to a consensus statement, but we can't be sure that chairs in the future might be so collegial as you. What guarantees are we going to have that consensus statements won't be beaten out of people? I have been to some SSC meetings in the past that were pretty raucous and where minority opinions kind of got trounced.
I don't know the right answer to that, Dave. It really will depend on the dynamic of the committee, but SSC chairmanship is essentially an experience in herding cats, and I don't think you're going to get someone to get all the cats in the same room at the same time. There's very little opportunity for browbeating there. These SSC members are fairly self-confident and well-spoken, and I think if the last half a year is any proof, people will speak their mind.
Okay, so if there's one cat that just can't agree, he's going to get to write a minority report or some in some way communicate with the council that he has, you know, strong feelings about what the majority have put forth?
Our approach to that will be to find the common ground, and even as little common ground as we have, identify that and then capture where we disagree. What we'd like to do is give the council unequivocal advice whenever possible. And usually there's more agreement than disagreement. What tends to be emphasized is the disagreement. So what we're going to try to do is focus on the agreement first and then capture the disagreements.
Okay, fair enough. My last question is on the bullet at the top of the page, because I actually think this is an important function that you're probably going to not get to do all that much. But which I would like to see more done on. How are you going to consider ecosystem-based fishery management? Let's say we've got, you know, two species, we're going to have two ACLs, and, you know, for ecosystem considerations, we might want to increase or reduce one or the other. How are you going to address that, and how are we going to get that information?
Well, if I may, we don't have the answers yet, but we do have an approach. For these larger issues that are not part of any one FMP and likely won't be a council request, what we'd like to do is have a workshop to develop a white paper. Now, that's bureaucratic speak for developing an approach, maybe as simple as identifying the issues or the challenges that we're going to have for ecosystem-based management. And hopefully beyond that, providing some approach for the council to consider for those. So these white papers are essentially policy documents that start a dialogue. And we have in July a meeting scheduled to do exactly that. And our agenda will be to develop ideas for the council to consider on how best to proceed. Very similar to what I just presented on acceptable biological catch. We don't know the right answer yet, but we know some of the issues. We have some ideas on how to proceed, and it's probably going to be iteration, where we have some very early foundation thoughts to communicate to you, and we may have to do it again. One workshop isn't going to solve it.
Okay, so what you basically, if I understand it right, you're kind of talking about a give and take with the council. You'll produce a white paper or some list of thoughts, and then you'll say to us, do you think you know, we're on the right track here, or would you like to have some feedback, and we'll go back and forth a little bit. It sounds like a reasonable way of proceeding, since none of us really know where we're going with this at the moment. Thank you.
Anything for Dr. Weinberg?
Yeah, Steve, I'd like to touch on another topic that is close to the Science Center, and it has to do with the peer review process. And I know that yesterday you discussed whether, if a peer review came in, whether you could accept it or reject it, and you said that you didn't want to duplicate peer reviews, but would have that right to make a decision about its quality. And I think I'd like to recommend that you have, if possible, have a lot of involvement with the Science Center during the stock assessment process, so that there's some channel of communication that's open, so that the SSC knows what's going on and what has been discussed at the Science Center by the peer reviewers or by the working groups. And that would avoid the situation where at your meeting where you're trying to make a decision about whether something is okay or not and running out of time, basically.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I think both sides recognize that increased involvement will help avoid what none of us want to get into, and that's a situation where we have SSC and peer review recommendations that conflict with each other. I think that would be a rare event, and when it's happened in other regions, it's been simply that the peer review process didn't address one of the terms of reference that was requested. It would have to be a major disagreement. We're not going to reject peer review assessments because we would have done things differently. It's not going to be that subtle. It's going to have to be a major disagreement, so I think your recommendation is right on the money, because communication can help resolve those miscommunications before they happen. So I think that's a great suggestion.
Nancy?
Well, actually, of course, my view is that it's even broader than the SAWS-ARC and the biological information, because when you're talking about the larger aspects of the spirit of the Act in terms of ecosystem-based fishery management and socioeconomic benefits, obviously a lot of that science and research comes by way of the Science Center. I mean, it's not just Science Center information in a vacuum, but you know, my view of ecosystem-based fisheries management means that there are ways to forecast above and beyond the single stock level, which is what we're doing now. And so, obviously, in terms of communication with the center, I mean, obviously taking Jim's comment, which I know you guys have talked about, and I wasn't able to go to the SSC meeting, but above and beyond that, obviously we need to have a discussion about how we're going to coordinate in terms of providing information, our peer review processes as well, in terms of what we're doing on the biological side, what we're doing in terms of ecosystem-based research and science, and also on the socioeconomic side as well.
If I respond to that, I think what you're suggesting is that we first of all, in developing a white paper, identify the scientific accomplishments to date and summarize what's already been said, that we don't reinvent the wheel on any of this. And I think we clearly can do that at this stage. And as practical as that July meeting, having center representation on that, I know you have an ecosystem team developed in your center now, it would be silly not to include representation from that. But as we move on in these larger issues, it may be that the center is the technical organization that's providing the background documents to us, similar to the way a PDT provides us the background for ABC recommendations.
Yeah, because, I mean, quite frankly, when you talk about ecosystem-based fisheries management, what we're recognizing is that within a system there are multiple use conflicts. And clearly fishing is, you know, something that happens in a system. And so, you know, as far as the research is concerned, again, it's looking at fishing in the system and the other things that are happening within the system as well, and how those things, in addition to environmental changes, can affect the productivity of a fishery within a system. And obviously, you know, from my perspective, from the science perspective, that's where we're moving in terms of developing science advice. Because, again, we want to be moving towards forecasting, and it's forecasting maybe at the single species level, but within the context of the system as a whole.
Yeah, one more. Just one thing that will ensure that coordination happens is that the SSC member taking the lead on that July workshop is Bob O'Boyle, who is already collaborating with center scientists on ecosystem analyses in the Gulf of Maine. So I will communicate this to Bob, and I'll keep it on my radar screen as well.
Okay, I'd like to ask Dr. Cadron if you could to move along to the next item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We were asked to provide advice on the Skate Fishery Management Plan Amendment 3. The major aspects of Amendment 3 are determination of overfished status for smooth, thorny, and winter skates, and overfishing status for thorny skates. The third request was to provide advice on how to implement annual catch limits and accountability measures, and the need to revise a baseline review process. We started developing these recommendations in October and finalized them yesterday. We confirmed the overfished status of smooth, thorny, and winter as appropriate application of the biomass threshold and the survey data. The overfishing status for thorny skate was confirmed, and there was a bit of a contradiction in the documentation, but that's been cleared up, and we have confirmed that both those status determinations are scientifically sound. On the third request on providing methods to implement annual catch limits and accountability measures, we're repeating our advice from April 2008. That there is not a scientific basis to precisely evaluate the effectiveness of catch advice. And we go through in depth in our April document that the lack of landings data by skate species is the major limiting factor in this fishery management plan and in managing this resource. And until that's resolved, this is going to be one of those exceptions in which we cannot provide reliable advice on acceptable biological catch. Fortunately, on the issue of the baseline review process, there is the data pour workshop that's been going on in work group, and the peer review will be next month. We're looking forward to the guidance that comes out of this data pour workshop, and we have provided some feedback to the data pour workshop for their consideration. The next issue was a more focused review on two of the analyses that are the basis for Amendment 3, what the PDT calls a two-bin model to evaluate these area closures that are on the screen. You have three areas in the channel and the lightship area in Nantucket Shoals with the intention of reducing winter skate catch, and two more northern closed areas, 4 and 5, with the intention of reducing catch of thorny skates. There were several concerns. This is just a quick bullet list of things about using mixed species catches, assuming homogeneous spatial distributions, and the use of logbook data. But I'll refer you to the second memo in the package that was distributed. Table 1 has a more extensive list of assumptions, potential biases, limitations, and sensitivities of these two models that were developed by the PDT. Our recommendation here is that we agree with the SSC's conclusion that the center's closed area model would be the most reliable approach to evaluating management alternatives. Furthermore, from a more multi-plan approach, the SSC feels that a combined analysis of all demersal fisheries, essentially all the utilities that fishermen are making decisions based on, their groundfish, monkfish, skate, catch, would be better accounted for. So if you're considering closing an area and the displacement of that effort to other areas, that will probably depend on the entire equation of demersal resource utilities that fishermen are basing their fishing behaviors on. And so we feel that not only would the skate plan benefit from application of the closed area model, but the groundfish plan evaluations would benefit from the inclusion of skates and monkfish. I should say that news travels fast, and it already got back to me that the center has included monkfish and skates in the latest iterations of the closed area model. And so we realize that this is a non-trivial recommendation and require quite a bit of work from the center, but may be worth the effort. There were some technical issues raised by the center in their review of the draft environmental impact statement. Their list is there about post-stratifying survey data, prorating catches to statistical area, assuming selectivity, species selectivity from the survey and the fishery, that there may be some hope in using the index method, and that the data poor working group may come out with different analyses than what are in the draft environmental impact statement. For example, at least what was reported to us yesterday, is that some of the discard estimates from the data poor working group are about twice what they are in the draft environmental impact statement. And I know that this is being considered in a decision to delay final action for skates. But one thing I would like to be clear on is that, first of all, these issues raised by the center were not specifically addressed by the SSC. However, all of the recommendations that I'm reporting today, our confirmation of status determination, the basis for catch advice, and our advocacy for the closed area model are not sensitive to these problems. The status determination is purely stratified survey data. The catch advice is essentially saying that there is no scientific basis for catch advice. If anything, it agrees with the concerns from the center. And similarly, our advocacy for the closed area model is trying to make the best of a data poor situation. So it's our opinion that these recommendations are robust to those technical issues. That's all I had for the skate amendment recommendations.
Thank you, Dr. Cadron. On your fifth point, and I guess it was also mentioned somewhere else about advocating for the closed area model and incorporating all demersal species or groundfish, monkfish, and skate. He said that the center has already gotten back to you, and are you saying they've already run this model with skates and everything incorporated?
They're in the process of some process of including those data. I don't know how finalized that is. That was just some early feedback from yesterday's discussions.
Okay. Any questions for Dr. Cadron? Nancy?
We're not very far along. it's something that I think we're aware that there's a lot of interest in us applying this model for lots of species or cross fisheries. So we're starting to do it, but we're not very far along.
Paul Howard.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Pat, on this number five, where the SSC has said, regardless of those five issues above that, you know, the status determination and the catch advice and the closed area model, that doesn't change our recommendations. Does that have any impact on whether we should still delay skates until after the workshop, or is that still your recommendation? Or should we just discuss it? Well, while Dr. Cadron is here, we probably should discuss this a little bit because I don't think he'll be here tomorrow during skates.
No, that wouldn't change our recommendation. I don't think it directly addresses the dueling information, so to speak.
We're on the council. Dr. Cadron, I guess we can move along.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll build on David Gaethel's report from the Research Steering Committee on the five-year research priorities. As Dave explained, each PDT or committee provided a list to the Research Steering Committee They compiled that list and organized them by topic, and they were provided to the SSC explicitly without prioritization. Just getting a little background, the categories that Nancy said were helpful to her were from the North Pacific Council, and I guess this reflects our different approaches and perspectives to things, is we felt that things don't need to be shoehorned within these categories. They may be helpful, but maybe the last bullet really reconciles both our perspectives, is that issues that overlap these categories may be considered as higher priorities if they're affecting different systems of the science system, or is it different components of the science system, they may be considered as higher priorities. And some that we've identified were spatial patterns and processes that cut across a lot of these categories, and species interactions that affect a lot of these categories. My approach here is to take the list that the Research Steering Committee developed. And first of all, I should acknowledge our appreciation for the work that they put into this. We had no problems and no disagreements with the list, but we only offer additions. Again, very difficult to see on the screen there, but really no additions to spatial temporal distributions or biology in the other bullet. We just want to clarify that in the retrospective problem for New England groundfish, we don't want to just research adjustments. We want to research corrections. If there's a data problem or a modeling problem, we feel that the more appropriate science would be to revise the data or the model rather than just to adjust the advice. And I'm sure that that's not what was meant, but we wanted to clarify that. For surveys, the last bullet, we just wanted to clarify that hydroacoustic surveys should not be limited to herring. They should be for all appropriate pelagic resources that can be adequately surveyed with hydroacoustic methods. And if I'm going too fast, just slow me down, but I really just want to identify our additions, and they're also identified in the third memo in your package. For fishery performance and monitoring, we added a last bullet to investigate fleet dynamics and their relationship to population dynamics. We had, for fishery management, we added four items. Consider management options for minimizing impacts on vulnerable marine ecosystems. We realize that there's a long list of habitat research items, but we'd like to bring that into the fishery management research as well, is consider how best to incorporate what's already known. The second is investigate the effect of various management instruments, user rights, ocean zoning, on management performance and enforcement. Investigate the feasibility of public leasing of vessels to reduce fishing mortality for fisheries that have long-term potential to sustain the existing fleet. And lastly, to evaluate effects and effectiveness of permanent closed areas. For ecosystem studies, we would like to expand the analysis of herring as a forage fish to other forage fishes, is that we don't limit our research to just herring that go to sand lance and other small pelagics and other forage species. And the last bullet is to monitor some of the ecosystem components that were not represented in the research priorities. For fisheries interactions, we had no additions. For habitat, we had no additions. We close our recommendations with a little bit longer-term consideration, is that this list of research topics hopefully will be useful to the Council and the Center. We feel in the future we can improve upon this with a bit more of a comprehensive and systematic approach that can truly prioritize what the research should be. First of all, categorizing as a short and a long-term need, cost-benefit analyses. Some of these ideas are relatively inexpensive and could be done quickly. Others will take reprogramming and rebudgeting. We think it's appropriate for the Research Steering Committee to have strong input into this list, but we need to think beyond just cooperative research. There are other NOAA programs, such as the Undersea Research Program, that could also provide tools and research agendas that would help council actions. And to close it off, we're willing to assist in this more comprehensive, systematic approach, if the council so wishes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, on that issue.
Anyone from the council? Dave Gatham?
Yeah, just procedurally here, Mr. Chairman, how would you like to proceed now? Would you like the staff to synthesize these two documents into one so we can vote on a motion, or do you want a motion to do that? Or
yeah, I'd like a motion to direct the staff to combine the SSC's recommendations with the recommendations you brought forward to us earlier today so that we can submit that.
Okay, and then I would make such a motion to synthesize the recommendations of the SSC and the Research Steering Committee into one document to be forwarded to the Science Center.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dave Preble. Any discussion? Dr. Pierce.
I don't object to that course of action. However, I did reserve until this time comments and questions about the list of specific research priorities and data needs that was assembled by the Research Steering Committee. I wanted to wait until after the SSC had a chance to weigh in on this. And now is the time. So if I may, Mr. Chairman, this won't take too long. I won't draw on the time I reserved earlier on. I'll ask Steve. Apparently, the SSC understood the first recommendation for research priorities and data needs under expanded ecosystem studies. I don't understand it. You did, and I'll turn to you or to the chair of the Research Steering Committee to help me out. I don't know what is meant by explore ocean zoning and the use, siting of marine resource services for long-term multi-jurisdictional planning. That almost sounds like a management initiative as opposed to a research need. So there must have been some further thought into that as to specific research that would be required for us to explore ocean zoning. So I'd appreciate a clarification regarding that. And I have one other question after that.
Dave Gaethel.
Yeah, this came from our discussion of the President's Commission on Ocean Policy, where they cited ocean zoning as something that needed to be done. And as a member of the Habitat Committee, we also cited it. We're running into increasing ocean zoning issues, and we need some kind of sociological and economic study of best uses, if you will, of a limited resource here, which is, the real estate we got out there. We've got all these competing uses, and we don't really have any kind of plan. In effect, right now it seems to be almost like a resource grab. Who trumps who? I want to drill for oil over here. I want to put my wind farm over there. I want to fish in all those places, on and on and on. I want, agriculture. I need big chunks of real estate set aside for my fish pens. Clearly, this is going to be a topic that we're all going to be wrestling with in the next 20 years, and we need to get some baseline information. So that was the synthesis of the bullet.
Okay, then I think I get the gist of it then. The bullet relates to specific data needs, not research specifically, but data needs. That is, what parts of the ocean are required for certain uses. So that is a piece of information that would be required as a step leading us towards consideration of ocean zoning. And obviously ocean zoning is being considered by many groups, including my state. We have an ocean management plan under development, and zoning is part of that. So I'm sensitive to that. That clarifies it. Basically, it's a data need. All right, fine enough. And regarding number four, this is a big one as far as I'm concerned. Under expanded ecosystem studies, 2 through 6 are specific research needs, and number 4 is geared towards SCATE. And I was wondering, why would we be so specific with this very important ecosystem study? That is, investigate the influence of physical factors, including environmental changes, on shifts in range and distribution of species within the SCATE complex. I would think it goes well beyond the SCATE complex. So why was that specific research recommendation tailored towards skates and not towards groundfish and other species? I would recommend that it be this recommendation be modified to include groundfish and other species that we manage.
Dave?
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree at all. The fact is that we basically took what various PDTs or committees had forwarded to us as their research priorities, and this one was forwarded by the SCATE committee, or the SCATE PDT, I don't remember which. And if the other committees didn't forward a similar recommendation, it isn't in there. But that certainly doesn't mean that it shouldn't be. I mean, clearly, environmental shifts apply to all species. They don't just apply to one complex.
We can make that change, Dave, if you're recommending that.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you need a motion, Mr. Chairman. I'll make one if you require one, but certainly...
Is there objection to us broadening the scope of number four so that it's not SCATE-specific?
Of our managed species.
Without objection. Anything else, Dave?
Yes, to the SSC recommendation for a modification to the expanded ecosystem studies, there's... I would just like a little bit more explanation, elaboration. Monitor trends in non-target ecosystem components, example, wolffish. Certainly, I understand why wolffish is in there. But did the SSC have some recipe or some broader outlook with regard to this beyond wolffish?
Dr. Cater.
Yes, thank you. I think we need to recognize the approach that was used to develop this list. As I said, each plan development team forwarded their research recommendations to the Research Steering Committee. Unfortunately, what falls through the gaps there are resources that are not managed specifically by a fishery management plan. And the basis of this, and that's why we're using the phrase ecosystem components, and it comes from National Standard 1 guidelines, is that we need to start recognizing non-target, non-commercially valuable species in our monitoring. That was the basis of that recommendation.
All set, Dr. Pierce. Mary Beth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had one question. Under the SSC recommendations, the second bullet for fisheries management, states to investigate the feasibility of public leasing of vessels to reduce fishing mortality for fisheries that have long-term potential to sustain the existing fleet. And I was just wondering what the thought process was there.
Dr. Cater.
Yeah, if I may, this may be an example of developing a consensus statement, is that there was an SSC member that felt that this should be considered, and there was initially some strong opposition to that. That the feeling was that many New England fisheries need permanent reductions in effort, not temporary reduction in efforts. And that's why the caveat was added to that, is that as long as there's long-term potential to sustain the current fleet capacity, then this may be an option. Does that answer your question?
No, I don't think so. I'm just trying to figure out how somebody would take that priority and turn it into research and what the goal of that would be. I mean, the feasibility of public leasing of vessels, what does that mean exactly?
That means rather than a buyout, it's a lease out.
If I could just add to that, I think I was at the meeting yesterday, and if I heard it right, it was a suggestion that people would be paid not to fish. Paid to tie up to the dock for a period of time and not go fishing.
And who would pay them?
That I can't answer that.
Yeah.
Okay, anything further? Okay, because we don't have the motion on the board because we have Steve's presentation on the board, but the motion... Yeah, the motion was to combine the SSC recommendations with the RSC recommendations so that we can get them off to the Science Center so that Nancy can then take the MIDs and Rs and other priorities and put a plan together. So I don't think we need to see that on the board, do we? It was made by...
There it is.
Well, it's on the board. You guys ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Unanimous. Okay, Dr. Cajun, you had one other.
That's right. We were asked to comment on.
NIMS has announced, made an advance notice of public rulemaking to develop National Standard 2 guidelines. You're probably familiar with National Standard 2 from the Magnuson-Stevens Act, and that's that conservation and management measures shall be based on the best scientific information available. So there's a lot of overlap with the SSC procedures that we were just talking about, and explicitly, NIMS would like to include peer review and the role of the SSC in the stock assessment and fishery evaluation reports. There is no such guidance available now on the role of the SSC. I'd like to identify a few background documents. One is that in 2004, the National Research Council was tasked with improving the use of best scientific information available for fishery management. And it's a long document, but this is from the executive summary. And the touchstones I talked about earlier about the criteria for determining best science were developed by NRC: relevance, inclusiveness, objectivity, transparency, timeliness, and peer review. And this should not only apply to the peer review process, but all documents that have scientific information that are used for fishery management decisions. And so we're lucky to have an established peer review system in the Northeast, but we need to also expand that those best science criteria to all of the documents that happen that are considered in evaluating fishery management decisions. So I'm not going to go through all those, but I do want to recognize that that report is out there. The council asked for comment on a statement they're developing for NOAA that recognizes a potential conflict in which the SSC may determine a catch level, and after that is recommended to the council, the secretary may determine that lower catch levels are needed. If I understand the council's question, it's for clarification on whether that scenario can exist. The SSC discussed this, and we agree that it would be unusual for the secretary to overrule an SSC recommendation, given that it's mandated in the Act. However, we accept that there may be special situations where that could occur. For example, new information arises after the SSC makes their determination. Essentially, the final word on fishery management decisions is from the secretary. And so, although it's probably not politically very easy to do, it is possible that we think that the secretary could do it. So I'm not sure that adds much to the council's question, but we consider that there could be situations. I think a more constructive recommendation that we have is that the guidelines that are being developed consider the recommendations from the National Research Council. And that was identified in the advance notice of public rulemaking. But another useful document is a summary by the American Fisheries Society and the Estuarine Research Federation that also were tasked with examining best science available for fisheries management. Both of those documents have many good analyses that should be considered in developing our national policy on this. We also want to recognize that the deadline for comments is not until December 17th, and we as an SSC may work by correspondence to provide further recommendations to the council. Just based on the time that we had yesterday, we think we can offer that there may be cases where the secretary may overrule the SSC, but also that there are other documents to be considered.
And that's all I had on NS2. And that is the completion of my report.
Thanks, Steve. Any questions for Steve on ANPR for Standard 2? Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, Steve, regarding the SSC recommendation that the guidelines consider previous guidance from the National Research Council and then the other resource, I'm sure that's very good guidance, and I've referenced these documents in the past in other ways, other occasions, but I can't recall everything that they offered up for guidance. Did all of the SSC actually have a chance to review those particular documents to determine if indeed they do provide good sets of guidance that the SSC would actually sign on to, or did one SSC member suggest this and then there was a consensus from the SSC, because why not? You know, again, I would not want to myself recommend this yet until I take a look at these documents to review what exactly did these groups say. So I just wonder, was this one person in a consensus, or was there some thoughtful deliberation behind whether this particular guidance was should be supported by the SSC?
If I may, there are a couple sources of this. Is that the NRC executive summary was presented to the SSC yesterday. The SSC thought that these were criteria that not only the national standard guidelines should consider, but also that we should adopt in our criteria for accepting best science available. So that was a consensus of the SSC. A member of the SSC identified other documents, and those were the AFS reviews that are available. And our recommendation is to consider these previous evaluations, not to adopt these previous evaluations. Part of the value that we can add to the council system is recognizing previous science that's been done. And I think that's an example of this. This is an example.
Anything further for Steve? Okay, well, Steve, I just want to continue to thank you for the hard work, the good work you guys are doing. And I really appreciate the forward-looking attitude that the SSC seems to have. They really want to get it right, and I think that's very obvious for any council member that wants to attend the meeting and or even part of the meeting and just watch what the thought that's going into the decisions and the recommendations out of this body. It's good. So thank you. We'll take a 10-minute break and then we'll jump into dogs.